Father God, we worship the fact that you are a God of details. That you work in ways that we do not understand. And we thank you that we can see in this passage some of the details that you have brought together. You have a faithful servant of the Lord doing his duty in the temple. And he encounters the angel Gabriel with a great message of hope for him in the future. His wife, advanced in years, bears a son and is able to stand up to the discrimination of her peers that she had to encounter prior to that. Father God, the son that was born goes on to set the stage for the greatest chapter in human history. We have this couple that was just faithfully honoring you and worshiping you. No clue what you had in store for their lives. These were not the best of the best people. These were just humble servants. And Father God, as we go through this time of Advent, we may look around and see that there are those that may be in a slightly better situation than we are, that may be more gifted than we are, that may be more suited to service than we are. But God, that's when you turn the cards and you act in ways that is totally unexpected. So as we go through this season, Father God, I just pray that as we walk through our daily lives, that you give us the ability to see where you might be nudging and prodding, how you can use us in our simple daily lives to effect a change that may have an eternal consequence for someone around us. And all these things that we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
It's a real treat to have John the Baptist join us this first Sunday in Advent, because you may not have recognized it, but John the Baptist is the forgotten character in the story of Christmas. John the Baptist and his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, these ones that are told about, that we've heard about, both in the Advent reading this morning that Andrea and Adeline shared with us. We heard about how the angel Gabriel comes and speaks about John the Baptist and his birth to Zechariah. And then we hear, because of his unbelief, that Zechariah was smitten with speechlessness until he saw his son, John, born, and was able to then tell the story about all that God had done for him. John the Baptist and his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, altogether the forgotten characters of the story. Because we often do not remember that there were two babies born at the beginning of Luke. And John the Baptist was the first. John the Baptist had one job with his life. He had one purpose. He was on this planet for one thing, and one thing alone. He was on this planet to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. He was the one who was supposed to make it ready and get everything ready for the coming of God's chosen one. That was his job. Prepare the way for the Lord. You've already heard that sung about. You have gotten to sing about that this morning, how we make the pathway straight and prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. That was John's job. And when we talk about simply Christmas this year, when we talk about a sermon series where we're saying we want to get to the core, we want to cut out all the other stuff, and we want to simply focus on Christmas, on the story of Jesus. That story of Jesus starts with the story of John. And John's job was to get everybody ready for the coming of Jesus. His job was to prepare the way. Now, John John the Baptist did not have a whole lot of sermons. He preached a lot. He's always teaching. When we read his story, starting in Luke chapter 3, he's always teaching. He lives out in the wilderness. He doesn't go to seminary. He wears camel's hair and he eats locust and honey, kind of an odd diet, but it was his thing. And he would just preach every day to anyone who would come to him. And he did not have a whole lot of sermons. As a matter of fact, he had one sermon. He preached the same one every day to every crowd that came to him. It was the same sermon day in and day out. His sermon went like this. Everybody, check your life. Check your life and see inside your life what is not right, what is not going in God's direction. And friends, whoever's within the sound of my voice, listen and look at your life, and whatever is not going God's way, stop and turn it in God's direction, because the Son is coming. Because Jesus is coming, the chosen one of God, the one you've waited for your lifetime, your parents' lifetime, your grandparents' lifetime, your great-grandparents' lifetime, and even before them, that one is coming. And you want to get ready. And what message could be better for us, friends, as we start out Advent? Because we have so many different things swirling around. We have so many different responsibilities. We have Christmas lists. We have Christmas decorations. We have Christmas parties. We have Christmas musicals. We have Christmas everything. And all of these things are filling up our hearts and filling up our minds and filling up our responsibilities and filling up our calendars. And John the Baptist is preaching to us across the ages and saying, repent, get clear, turn your life toward God. Turn it toward God for the first time, or return it toward God and get your focus straight. Because what happens to all of us in the midst of all of our lives is we lose focus on what's most important. That's John the Baptist's sermon. That's what he preaches. If you want to look back with me at some of what we've read already this morning, Luke chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. There is such a powerful word in here. This is the text that you heard Andrea read earlier at the lighting of the Advent candle. But I want you to hear this portion again. The angel Gabriel says, John will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What does it mean to be great in the eyes of God? Being great in the eyes of God means you turn your life and your heart toward the Lord, and you encourage other people to do the same thing. Because that is what John was for. That is what his life was about. His message was simple. You can see it there in your program. His message was simple. Turn your life back to God. Turn your life back to God. Now, it's fascinating to me. Notice in those texts that we just read that John is a prophet to the people of Israel. He's a prophet to the people who are already going to temple, already going to synagogue, already following the laws of God, already looking forward to the coming of God's chosen one. God does not send John the Baptist to speak to all of the ones who are the outsiders. He sends them to him to wake up the insiders. John the Baptist's job is to get a hold of the people, the Jewish people that are around, and say, I don't care if you're a Pharisee, a Sadducee, an Essene, a Zealot, whatever political party you are. I don't care if you are a commoner. I don't care if you're rich or poor. The Son of God is coming. And you better get ready. Because when he comes, he's going to light you on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're ready. He's going to light you on fire with the life that is really life, if you're ready. He's going to turn your life into just a meaning, away from a meaningless wrote existence into a life that is passionate and filled with power and one that changes the world, if you're ready. He is going to give you the passion and the peace and the hope and the joy and the love that you have longed for, but he's only going to be able to give it to you if you're ready. So friends, John the Baptist said, turn around and get your life ready. Interesting that he speaks all of this to the religious ones, to the ones who judged others like the tax collectors and the sinners. All of those folks, those ones that Jesus often got in trouble for eating and drinking with. John the Baptist comes to wake up the ones who in that day and time were the ones sitting in the pews, even though they didn't have pews. He came to wake up the folks like us, to say to us, get ready. Get your heart back in order. Get your focus off many good things and refine your focus back to the one thing. Because what we do, friends, when we are followers of Jesus, is we are called to have a life focus that is in one direction and one direction only. And that direction is Jesus Christ. And then when we have our life focused in that direction, all the rest of our priorities come into the right place. All the rest of our priorities are made meaningful and made whole. So we put our focus in the right place, in Jesus' direction. And then life begins to make sense and begins to get clear. And friends, never has this message been more necessary. Because I believe too many followers of Jesus in the United States of America and around the world, too many followers of Jesus have spent our lives focused on lesser things. We spend our lives listening, as Michael Adams told us in his sermon last week, letting others set the course because we listen to them. Letting others tell us where to graze as sheep because we're listening to them instead of to the gospel, instead of to what Jesus says. We've allowed folks like CNN and Fox News and other folks around our nation to determine what's most valuable and important to us instead of letting the Word of God channel us and focus us and lead us forward in love. We need to get prepared because we've been for too long listening to other voices, instead of listening for the voice of Jesus Christ and allowing that voice and that voice alone to be the one that we hear. Because again, as we heard last week, we need to be sheep that know His voice and His voice alone, and that crave His voice and no other. What voice, friends, is determining the course of your life? What voice is determining what you think? Is determining how you believe? What voice is determining how you spend your money this season? What voice is determining how you will act this season? What voice is determining your priorities? For a follower of Jesus Christ, there is one voice and one voice alone, and it is Jesus and Him crucified. And John the Baptist says to us, friends, get your focus clear. Repent is the word he uses. Repent. Which means stop going this direction, stop, turn around, and go in God's direction. It is a stopping and a turning around. Go in God's direction, repent, make Jesus the full focus. Because there are so many other things, even in the midst of the religious life, that distract us. And they tell us they are of Jesus when really they are simply about ourselves and our own preferences. Turn back to God. Now, when you repent, there's another piece to this. Produce repentance fruit. If you are one who has turned toward God, you're going to produce fruit with your life that looks like Jesus. That's simply the way it works. Look with me, if you will, for a couple of minutes at Luke 3. As we hear some of this sermon from John the Baptist. John's sermon, we've talked about it already. Here it is. John said to the crowds, this is verse 7, Luke chapter 3. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, you snakes." Wow, that really gets your attention, doesn't it? I ought to try that one. No, never mind, I'm not going to do that. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none. The one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect more than you are required to, Jesus told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Verse 8, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stories, God can raise up children for Abraham. You know what these folks were doing? They were saying to Jesus as he was urging them forward to repent, as he was urging them forward, they were saying, you know what? This doesn't have anything to do with me. Abraham is the one who gave us our life. I am a good Jew. Abraham gave us our life. I will rest in that. And John says, that's fruitless. It's fruitless because God can raise up children from out of Abraham anywhere. Now, let's take that to our modern day context. That would be like us saying, I don't need to worry about this, turning my life back to God. I spend lots of time at church. I do lots of religious things. I'm in Sunday school. I'm in a small group. I'm in the school of music. You know what? I've even been the chair of deacons, the chair of personnel. I've been a high chair, a low chair, a reclining chair, a stool chair. I've been any kind of chair you can be in the church. I will rely on that. And John the Baptist says, I don't care how religious you are. I care about if you're turned completely to Jesus. Because that's my job, to make people into followers of Jesus, not into purveyors of religion. We're not here to be religious, friends. We don't get points with Jesus based on how many committees we've served on or how many times we've shown up in this building. We show up here to get fed from the Word of God and then be able to go out and spread that Word so that the world is changed. We don't show up here to have our ears tickled or to have our back scratched. This isn't a spiritual spa. This is where we show up to be challenged to focus our lives fully on Jesus Christ, as John's message was to the people. Produce real fruit. Friends, if we've repented and we've turned our lives away from one way and our lives toward Jesus, we're going to begin to grow fruit in our lives that look like Jesus. We're going to begin to grow hope instead of despair. We're going to begin to grow peace instead of resentment and meanness. We're going to begin to grow joy instead of the bah humbug spirit that so many folks find in the Christian life all year long. We're going to begin to grow love instead of hate, instead of indifference. We're going to begin to grow a heart for people that are forgotten. We're going to begin to grow a heart for people that are different than us. We're going to begin to grow a craving and an unrelenting ache in our souls to see broken lives made new. And we're not going to stop until it happens. And we're going to begin to ache and hurt when we see other people hurt. When we see people hurt in the news, it's going to hurt our souls. We're going to begin to grow generosity that honors Jesus Christ. We're going to begin to make sure that our lives is not measured by how much we have, but how much we give. We're going to begin to understand that our lives are only most healthy and most full when, like Jesus, we give them away. John the Baptist. Friends, he's not the kind of guy you wanted to have at a party. He didn't know how to make nice. He didn't know how to follow the social graces. He didn't know etiquette. He just came right in, and with the full love and fire of the Lord, he hit people between the eyes and he said, get your life focused on Jesus Christ, because he's coming. Because he's coming. Friends, this is the first Sunday of Advent. We have time to get our lives completely focused in God's direction as we wait, because he's coming soon. And as we wait, we get ready. So prepare your hearts. May we spend more time preparing our hearts with the Word of God and praying than we do preparing our Christmas cards. May we spend more time pondering how God wants us to use our spiritual gifts and how God wants us to give our lives more fully to Him than we do spending time pondering over the gift list of our relatives. May we spend more time decorating our world with kindness and love and patience and gentleness and hope than we do spending decorating our homes. And may we spend more time praying over a world that is broken, over people who vote different than us, speak different languages than us, have different beliefs than us. May we spend our time praying over their brokenness and our brokenness more than we spend our time trying to satisfy every single personal need we have this Christmas season. May this season truly be, may we prepare ourselves for this season to truly be about Jesus rather than about us. As we come to the Lord's table today, we recognize that there is no better time to take communion together, perhaps, than the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is a season of preparation. This table is a table of repentance. It is a table where we recognize that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, so that all of us could be made new. All of us could be prepared and reborn in Christ. So friends, if you're ready to turn yourselves toward Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus of any flavor or any form, this table is for you.